This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about white chocolate.
We should do one of those things like a you know, charity drive, pledge drive or something where we podcast nonstop for 24 hours and see just how stupid we can get. You're not into this, I can tell.
No.
I wasn't serious either.
Okay.
I would do it for a good cause.
Okay. Yeah, I probably would too.
White chocolate.
White chocolate. So, Matthew, is there any white chocolate on your memory lane?
Not really. I've always had a thing for brown chocolate. But white chocolate never really did it for me. So I'm curious. I feel like white chocolate has been having a renaissance.
What about white chocolate in things? No, that wasn't even on your memory lane?
I mean, yeah, I do remember it. Like, you know, it would come up like in, I don't know, like Blondies or something maybe.
Here's what I remember. I remember going to this mall by my cousin's house in Northern California.
Okay.
And I can't remember whether it was a Mrs. Fields chocolate chip cookie store or one of those, like, blue chip chocolate chip cookie
stores. I'm not familiar with blue chip.
Do you remember when there were, like...
Is this a third color of chocolate?
Do you remember when there were cookie stores in malls?
Yes, I absolutely do.
Okay. So it was either Mrs. Fields or Blue Chip or maybe both of them. But there was a period of time when white chocolate macadamia nut chocolate chip cookies were a thing. Do you remember this?
For sure remember that. I think I like that.
And I remember buying them and they were still warm.
Yes.
Which would, like, accentuate the tooth aching
sweetness. What happened to cookie stores? They got replaced by pretzel stores maybe?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Cookies are better than pretzels, I think. What do you think?
I think you're right.
Listeners, what's better, cookies or pretzels? I feel like we're waiting in real time for them to answer, and this never works.
Anyway, the other place that I remember having white chocolate as a kid was my mom got this recipe, like, either out of Bon Appetit or Gourmet or something in the mid to late 80s. I wrote about it in my first book. It's called a White Chocolate Coeur à la Crème.
This has come up on the show so many times.
I know.
I love it.
I know. Anyway, you basically, you melt chocolate.
You melt down Mike.
You melt white chocolate and you fold it into whipped cream with some, with cream cheese and stuff. You make this mousse out of it. You serve it with raspberry puree.
And then you really mousse out.
Anyway, it was so delicious.
There's so much mousse in the 80s.
There was so much mousse in the 80s.
Like chocolate mousse, hair mousse.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, white chocolate, I feel like it really had a day in the 80s. And it seemed like a real luxury product in some ways.
Right. And then the backlash.
Yeah.
Right. People, you know, it's not real chocolate.
We're going to get there.
Oh, okay.
We're going to get there. Matthew. Remind me what this is.
I wrote down the title of the Liz Phair album, White Chocolate Space Egg, which I think was her third album.
I couldn't remember.
Pretty good.
I only think of Exile in Guyville.
So, yeah, I mean, that's my favorite, too. But I've got to say, I have a real soft spot for the self-titled Liz Phair album that everyone hated.
One.
It was like, it was super, like, they sunk a ton of money into it, and it was, like, way, like, overproduced and, like, loud guitars, and, you know, she was roundly panned for this. some real catchy songs on there. It's a fun album, I think.
Wow.
We'll link to it.
Okay.
Self-titled. I think it's her fourth album.
Okay.
What is White Chocolate?
Hang on. I got to take a moment to eat this because this is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I've never had this before, and this is...
Isn't it good?
So good.
Mm-hmm. We'll tell you what it is. Maybe. Maybe we'll just keep it to ourselves.
Yeah, maybe we won't tell him. So, White Chocolate. Let's get right down to it.
Okay.
Because if you Google White Chocolate, you know how... If you type something into Google, it...
Oh, like auto-suggest.
Yeah, it makes auto-suggest.
Auto-complete. That's...
And one of the first one that comes up is, what is white chocolate?
Okay.
So let's get right to the bottom of this.
Oh, wow. You are going to be my Google. Would you be my Google?
No. It's made from cocoa butter, sugar, and milk solids.
Okay.
Also, like, lecithin, sometimes vanilla, often vanilla.
Got to emulsify.
But here's the deal. Okay, so let's talk about cocoa in general. Let's talk about like a cacao bean.
Yes.
Okay. Here's the deal. So cocoa butter is the vegetable fat that's extracted from the bean. It's basically the fat that comes from it. Okay. And it's what gives all chocolate products their like yummy melting texture, right?
Because it must melt at like around body temperature, right?
It does.
Yes.
And cocoa butter, just that like isolated fat part, does apparently have a little bit of what we think of as like a cocoa-y flavor and aroma.
But not very much.
But not very much.
Okay.
So here's the thing. All right. So let's picture like the whole cocoa bean. Okay.
Okay, which is not the cocoa pod, but it's like the little things inside the pod.
So it's fermented, right? Mm-hmm. And then it is roasted, okay? And then those roasted beans are ground into a liquid state,
I've seen this happen at the Theo Chocolate Factory.
Oh, cool. Seattle. Well, so those fermented, roasted, ground up cocoa beans are called cocoa liquor. Okay? Anyway.
Liquor.
So basically, after you extract the fat component from that, you know, ground up mess, okay, what's left are the solids.
All right.
And those cocoa solids are what we think of as like what gives the flavor of chocolate.
Right. Now, question, like in any, this is a serious question, like is the cocoa butter always extracted, or like if you're making like a chocolate bar that's going to have cocoa solids and cocoa butter, do you leave them together?
Gosh, you know, the feeling that I've gotten from what I've been reading is that these things are generally like separated and then remixed together.
I think that might be right. Like,
because then you can control the mouthfeel, you can control the quantity of chocolate in comparison to the quantity of fat. Like, I mean, the quantity of solids to butter.
Right. Yeah, it's like if you buy whole milk, that's not like milk that hasn't been processed. It's just milk where the fat has been mixed back in at a particular ratio that's comparable to what it was originally.
That. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh wow, interesting.
Yes, all the milk you buy, like mass produced milk at the supermarket, is milk with some amount of milk fat added back in, unless it's skim milk.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
I saw somewhere online a pressed cake of cocoa solids.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was really interesting. I mean, you could imagine them taking this like sludge, this chocolate liquor. I imagine it like...
I'm imagining sludge right now.
I imagine it like you know when you go to the grocery store and you grind your own peanut butter and it's like... Mm-hmm. It's like not nearly as smooth as like store-bought commercial stuff. Anyway, I'm imagining the chocolate liquor like that. Well, then, so you press the cocoa butter out of it.
Okay.
And what's left is this like cake of cocoa solids.
Speaking of cake, wife of the show, Lori, recently had what she said was a very upsetting dream in which she was eating a cake and leaving it by the side of the bed. She was eating cake in bed and kept like just leaving this cake by the side of the bed and going back and picking up this plate of cake for more. And I was really upset because she was eating cake in bed. I think
you are a tyrant.
But it's not real. It's a dream. I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating cake.
Oh, good. Anyway, so basically white chocolate, it doesn't have the cocoa solids in it that like milk chocolate or what we think of as dark chocolate that they have, right? And so it's just the fat, like that vegetable fat, milk solids, and sugar.
Okay.
And vanilla.
But, or like what? What's the upshot of this?
Okay. Well, so here's the deal. Like, this stuff is really polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
A website called True Food TV made a video that I almost clicked on yesterday with the headline, White Chocolate or White Lie?
Why didn't you click on it? What are we paying you for?
Anyway, people really... So second to the question, what is white chocolate, is the question, is white chocolate real chocolate?
Right. Like... another question is, who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Like, as long as you know, there's no one trying to sell you, like trying to fool people into thinking they're getting like dark chocolate, but like putting chocolate on something, and you're like, open up this box, like, oh
white.
Boy, chocolate, and it's actually white chocolate inside. So given that that's not happening, who gives a shit?
Well, Bon Appetit does.
Okay,
I'll tell you that they say white chocolate is not chocolate because it, quote, lacks the component that defines real chocolate.
Which is the...
The cocoa solids.
The cocoa solids.
Yeah. Anyway, so the U.S., I guess, that would this be the FDA, USDA? Who decides these things? U.S.?
I think the FDA.
Anyway, in the U.S., since 2004... this has been the rule on white chocolate.
Okay.
White chocolate must be, by weight, at least 20% cocoa butter, 14% total milk solids, and 3.5% milk fat.
Okay.
No more than 55% sugar or other sweeteners. And the EU has the same standards, except that there's no limit on sugar or other sweeteners.
Wait.
So what's notable...
Are you... Okay. I think you're about to say the same thing I was going to say, but go ahead.
I was just going to say that... What's notable about this is that you may notice in the grocery store that there are a lot of chips that are marketed just as white chips.
I'm so glad you brought this
or
up.
Or like Reese's peanut butter cups, they have a Reese's white, right?
Right. Okay? It doesn't say white chocolate.
It doesn't say white chocolate. Well, all of these places, they're calling their product white chips or just Reese's white or whatever because it doesn't meet that standard of 20% cocoa butter.
Okay. So... Here's a thing that happened in the last couple of days. I wish I had known this before this happened. So you'll see. I went to the store to get stuff for the episode, and I brought back a bag of Ghirardelli white baking morsels. Mm-hmm. And then when I looked, I was like, oh, there's no cocoa butter in here at all. It's all palm oil.
Yep.
And so I returned it and got real white chocolate with cocoa butter. But now I kind of wish I'd saved it so we could try both.
It's really interesting. Here's the thing. So like 10 years ago, Cooks Illustrated did a tasting of white chocolate chips and white chips. You can find the results online. But just in short, they found that I think their winner was actually just a white chip.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it didn't have that 20% minimum cocoa butter. And usually, yeah, they have partially hydrogenated oils or other vegetable oils in place of the cocoa butter.
I feel like white chip is the name of a DJ or something.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. That,
yeah. Should we go to the store and get them again?
20% minimum seems so... little.
Well, the thing I was going to ask before was, what's the rest of it? Because you said...
Yeah, what's the rest of it? This doesn't really add up, does it?
Oh, maybe it's the lecithin? Okay, because 20, on. Let's do this. Let's do the math. 20 okay. plus 14 is 34, plus 3.5 is 37.5.
Okay.
And no more than 55% sugar, so that's 92.5%.
Well,
so it's 7.5% something else.
Then there's some vanilla.
Could be more cocoa butter.
Sure, there could be more cocoa
butter. Oh, so it's at least some of these things. So there could be more milk or more cocoa butter. Or just not more sugar. Okay, I get it.
Okay, great. So
there's not just like a hole in the middle of the bar that's 7.5% of the total.
The earliest production of white chocolate was actually earlier than I would have expected.
Okay.
Seems like it was in the 1930s by Nestle.
Oh, it was invented by Wilf Chumbly? From last week?
It was called Milky Bar, and it's still sold.
Milky Bar!
Milky Bar is still in production. So apparently, although the exact origins of like white chocolate are sort of mysterious, it's said to have been created in Switzerland as a way to put excess cocoa butter to good use. So,
I'm skeptical.
Really?
Yes. Because, like, cocoa butter is valuable.
I know, and it's used in a lot of, like, cosmetics.
Right,
and
another good use for it is dark chocolate. So I think it was more likely just, like, here's a new product.
Huh. Well, Plated.com posits that it is more of a derivative than a legit chocolate sibling. I don't know.
Is there an analogy that we could be working with here? Like what if peanut butter, what if you made a peanut butter? Bear with me here.
Okay.
Work with me here.
This was the first place I went and then I discarded it.
So peanut butter, it's got peanut oil and peanut solids. You press out the peanut oil. You use the peanut solids for something else, like making that powdered peanut butter that people keep trying to get us to try and to do an episode about, which we probably won't.
What are you talking about?
Oh, there's like peanut butter powder. If you go to the peanut butter section at your supermarket, you will find it's like a health food thing of some kind. There are lots of jars of like powdery peanut product.
What?
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I feel like I'm coming around. Maybe we will do a show on this because I've never tried it. Maybe it's good.
Okay.
Anyway, so now we take the peanut oil and we make it into like – we add some milk and we kind of make it into shortening sort of. Is there a big difference between white chocolate and shortening?
Seems like not.
Seems like it's pretty similar.
It seems like it's like flavor shortening.
It's like sweetened shortening. Mm-hmm. But like
– it has milk solids.
Yeah. But not a lot of milks. Well, no, like 14%. Yeah. Okay. So it's like, well, and when they do this, like what you would end up with if you did it with the peanut thing, where was I going with this analogy? I'm so lost.
You were trying to figure out if you buy the idea that white chocolate came out of like an excess cocoa butter.
Well, no, I was trying to figure out like whether it constitutes chocolate or not. So like basically if you made white chips using peanut oil, right? Which you couldn't really do because peanut oil is too, the melting point is too low.
Oh, God.
But... would they have any peanut? Would you be able to call them peanut something?
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Let's talk about that because I have theories.
Do woodchucks not actually chuck wood? I don't know.
Oh, no, I think they chuck a lot of wood.
Really?
What is chuck?
Okay. All right. Anyway.
Chucking like upchuck is like vomiting, right?
Then there's ground chuck.
Yes, and there's ground hog. Oh, wow. We just cracked this wide open.
Oh.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's Nooks and Crannies English Muffins. And you know what I've been thinking about? My favorite English muffin topping is peanut butter. And one of the things Thomas's gave us as like a prompt for what we might want to talk about during the ad is... In your perfect fantasy morning, what would you brush your teeth with? Doesn't it seem like there should be a toothpaste that's peanut
butter flavored? I did not think this was where you were going.
Like, toothpaste, it's kind of the same texture as peanut butter.
But toothpaste, its whole job is to, like, make things, like, slippery and clean in there. I don't know if slippery is actually what toothpaste is. Just, I don't know if it's going for that. But whereas peanut butter, especially peanut butter, like the vats of peanut butter that get trapped in the nooks and crannies of a Thomas's English muffin, that is going to glue your teeth together.
But here's what I want. I want a peanut butter flavored toothpaste that I can dispense onto an English muffin, spread it, and then when I'm done eating it, it's also swallow. It's actually just peanut butter, okay? I admit it.
Okay, cool.
Thomas's, wake up to what's possible. This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
With more than 70, the number keeps getting higher. With more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes, Third Love designs bras with breast size and shape in mind, so you get a perfect fit and a premium feel.
If they keep adding more sizes, they're going to have to start using Greek letters.
You're right. Yeah.
Yep. So you go online, you use Third Love's Fit Finder quiz, and you can find your perfect fit in 60 seconds.
Yep. And you get to put so you get this bra in the mail, right?
Yeah, of course.
You get to put it to the test for 60 days, wear it, wash it, and if you don't love it, return it, and they will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. What?
Yeah, but you're not going to return it because it is the most comfortable bra you will ever own. Tell them, Molly.
Yes, it is. Go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk now to find your perfect fitting bra.
And get 15% off your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk for 15% off today. These days, even though I think people are still really, clearly, like Matthew, really hung up on this idea of whether white chocolate is real chocolate.
I said I didn't care, and then I started caring so much.
There are some people out there who are forging ahead with making delicious white chocolate products, unheeded by this question of, like, definition.
Did you say unheated?
Unheeded.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you mean unhindered?
Unhindered. Unhinged. God, I feel unhinged. Anyway, unheeded. Unheated? Unhinged.
Well, I feel like it's like they're warning the warnings of the white chocolate skeptics went unheeded, but the white chocolate brigade was unhindered. This is our weekly SAT prep podcast. Next segment is analogies.
Great. All right.
Warthog is to groundhog as
white chocolate is to peanut butter powder.
I think one of those called PB2. Like it's the sequel to peanut butter.
No. Okay. Hold on. So Matthew, I do want to say that I remember learning about this through Delancey because Delancey orders these huge bags of Valrhona Fevs to use in chocolate chip cookies. Mm-hmm. And once we were accidentally delivered Valrhona's white chocolate.
Okay.
Which was, all the Valrhona chocolates have like a name.
Yes, like
they're 64% dark chocolate is Manjari.
That's what I was trying to think of. Great word, right?
The 34% white chocolate. Chocolate and note 34% cocoa butter.
That's a lot.
So much higher than minimum.
Minimum is 20%. Yeah.
They call that one Ivoire.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, it's delicious. We decided not to return the bag and instead.
Oh, what did you do with it?
We ate some of it and then I brought the rest home. And I think June and I just finished it like a year or so ago.
Cool.
Anyway, but
And Fevs is French for fever, right?
No. Okay. It's French for fava bean.
Oh.
Or like bean.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, Matthew.
Yes.
What do you do with white chocolate?
I'm not sure if I've ever bought it before yesterday.
I know that Lori does a lot of baking. She's sort of more the baker in your household. Does she ever use it?
More the baker to her. Maybe once in a while, like there's been a cookie that called for it, but not much.
Okay. I tend to use it, you know, I do like this Christmas baking and candy making and stuff. I use it in
all things in a tin.
Remember? Things in a tin.
If it comes out of a tin, it's a holiday cookie. Right.
So I use it for my peppermint bark.
Yes, which is delicious.
Yeah, which is basically like white chocolate, a layer of chocolate ganache with peppermint oil in it, and then another layer of white chocolate. So good. With crushed peppermint candies in all the layers.
So we should say, like, while we're doing this, we're eating from we'll talk about the other thing we're eating in a minute, but we're eating from a bar of Ghirardelli premium baking white chocolate. It's pretty good.
Can I voice a complaint though about baking with dark chocolate or candy making with it?
With white chocolate?
With white chocolate, mm-hmm. Sorry. It is that different brands vary so much.
Sure.
And I don't know if it's something, too, about just the properties of white chocolate across the board, but it clumps and gets weird when you're melting it so easily.
Like more so than dark chocolate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I venture to guess that if I were to use a white chocolate, like one of them fancy ones, like the Valrhona Ivoire.
It would really give you a fev.
That would probably melt really nicely because of all that
probably,
cocoa butter.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, I also use it for toffee.
Okay.
I put it on top of my toffee.
Like drizzled?
No, I do. I finally chop white chocolate and I finally chop dark chocolate. And when the toffee is still hot.
Oh, so it comes like just, a mosaic.
I've poured the, so you've got this.
A tesseract.
You've got this toffee that's come up to temperature. You pour it quickly onto a sheet pan and spread it out. And then while the toffee is still really hot, I spoon finely chopped white and dark chocolate on top of it in rows, alternating rows. And I take a chopstick and drag the chopstick through the chocolate once it's melted marble it.
Oh, okay.
There is perhaps nothing that makes me feel like a more accomplished cook than marbling the top.
Absolutely. And it looks great when it comes out of that tin.
And it's so easy.
Attention, listeners, stop writing your emails. Correction. I just said tesseract a minute ago. I meant tessellation. Tesseract is a thing. Tessellation is like a repeating geometric pattern. Tesseract is a thing from Wrinkle in Time. I'm sorry.
Great. So, okay.
All right. So what's new in the world of white chocolate?
Oh, God. I'm so glad you asked. You know, if there's one thing that this show is known for, it's for its trend spotting.
Well, and for its extremely natural segues.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. So, Matthew, characteristically, this show is approximately 10 years behind the trend.
I don't think 10 years.
Yes.
Really?
David Leibovitz first wrote about caramelized white chocolate.
All right. I'm wrong.
That's the trend we're discussing in 2009. All right. He went on a tour of the Valrhona factory, and they demonstrated how to caramelize white chocolate. Yes.
Can we go on a tour of the Valrhona?
I'm
not joking,
I think
at all. I've never been more serious about anything.
We have to go to Europe.
Right. I got that.
Oh, great. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll discuss this later.
Yeah.
This sounds expensive. Anyway, caramelized white chocolate. Let's talk about this.
Yes.
The idea is that I think the way that I've most often seen it written up is that you lay out pieces of white chocolate on a sheet pan and you're baking it in a low oven until it melts. And basically the milk solids in it begin to brown. Apparently, so this
how long does this take?
I think there's a recipe on Pioneer Woman. Uh-huh. She wrote about it in 2016.
Can we link to it?
We can link to it. We can also link to David Leibovitz's. I can't remember whether they're about the same or not. I remember that the total time for the Pioneer Woman one, I think it said 45 minutes.
So it's like a tanning bed for chocolate.
It is.
Okay.
And apparently what's actually happening is not so much caramelization. That tends to happen, I guess, at a higher temperature than you're really taking this chocolate.
And caramelization is something that happens to sugars specifically.
What's happening here apparently is the Maillard reaction.
Ah, which is forming various complexes of proteins and carbohydrates.
Okay. So here's a quote from the pastry chef Michael Laiskonis. I always fear that I'm mispronouncing his name. Anyway, he says, if you look at the composition of white chocolate, right, it's cocoa butter, sugar, and milk solids.
Should we throw some of this into our scanning tunneling electron microscope?
And what happens when you expose those things to prolonged heat, not super high heat, but just prolonged heat, is that the proteins and the lactose in the milk solids turn brown and create flavor compounds that weren't there before.
Yes.
So it's almost like making like dulce de leche with cocoa butter?
Yeah, absolutely. That is what it's like.
It's like a milk caramel with cocoa butter.
So
David Leibovitz calls it the toffee of milk.
That is poetic.
Yeah.
So I don't think I've ever had it except in the form that we were just eating it now.
So I have never, this was my first time eating the Hershey's Gold Bar.
Well, in fact, I had eaten this before, but I didn't know that's what it was.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. I think maybe I thought it was caramel flavored.
So Hershey's has this product called Hershey's Gold.
Which just came out maybe years 2017.
Ago? It says, so underneath the words Hershey's Gold, it says peanuts and pretzels. And above it, it says caramelized cream, C-R-E-M-E.
Yeah, which is presumably what they're calling caramelized white chocolate.
Yeah, and this is another one of those things where I think they cannot actually say that it's white chocolate. So hence caramelized cream.
What's in the ingredients?
Do I really want to know? Okay, in order, sugar, vegetable oil, skim milk, peanuts, milk fat, enriched bleached wheat flour, lactose,
from the pretzels. So it's
lecithin.
So it has no cocoa butter.
It has no cocoa butter.
Well, this shit is delicious.
It is. Oh my gosh. This, I think, is the best, maybe the best candy bar I've ever had.
Yeah. Hershey's fucking nailed it.
It is a perfectly engineered food product.
Yeah. It really is.
Here's a new one for the Pantheon, the Hershey's Gold Bar.
Put this in your pantry Pantheon.
Yeah.
Or just put it in your pants.
I should also say that, like, the next time I happen to, you know, come across some Valrhona chocolate, I really...
White chocolate in particular?
Well, but I really hope that I can find their Dulce brand. I mean, their Dulce...
Oh.
Not brand. Dulce line. They call it blonde chocolate, but it's basically... It's caramelized white chocolate.
Okay.
They've added a fourth chocolate color. We've got white, blonde... Milk and dark.
And I've been hearing about ruby chocolate. This is not a joke. This is really something I've been hearing about, and I don't know what it is.
Really?
Can we look into this for the future?
Sure, yeah.
I hope the next time I come across some Valrhona, it's at the Valrhona factory. Where do you think it is? Paris? Near Paris? Somewhere else?
I'm guessing. Okay. I'm guessing. You know what's interesting is
we went to Japan. We should probably go to France.
I think it would be a lot more expensive.
Yeah, probably.
What I thought was interesting was that this Valrhona Dulce, their white...
Dulce de leche.
Their caramelized white chocolate, was their most successful product launch ever.
Wow.
I think it's because... So apparently...
So what do you do with it then?
Well, so I found this article in Eater.
Okay.
From February of 2018. We can link to it. The headline is "Caramelized White Chocolate is for People Who Hate White Chocolate."
Oh, gauntlet thrown, but in which direction? I'm not sure.
So apparently, the deeper toasty flavor provided by caramelized white chocolate is something of an open secret among pastry chefs, some of whom have been utilizing it in desserts for more than a decade.
Wow.
All right. Here's a pastry chef who says you can use it any way you would use regular chocolate.
Okay.
From ganache to mousse to panna cotta. It makes a mean ice cream. You can also re-temper it and use it in truffles and bonbons.
I want to try the ice cream.
Right? Doesn't that sound so good?
If this were available in ice cream form, like with some chopped peanuts on top, I would go ape.
Yeah. Wow. Let me see if there's anything else in this
article.
And
I don't say that lightly.
Oh my gosh, apparently Valrhona also has has launched a second blonde chocolate.
What's this one called?
Called Aurelis. How would you pronounce that? O-R-E-L-Y-S. Aurelis.
Yes.
I don't know. It's deeper in color than Dulce, with slight licorice notes.
Oh, yeah, we got to get our hands on this. Where do they sell Valrhona in Seattle? Like De Laurenti?
Yeah, I think so.
Whole Foods, I think.
Maybe.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
You know, this is really interesting. Speaking of like what to do with it. So, you know, you can kind of think about it as being adjacent to salted caramel.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So any place you would use that, like, gosh, what if you could find a way to do like a...
Carmelita cookie?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't know, you know, part of the charm of white salted caramel is it maintains that like gooey stretchiness.
True.
If it's the right kind of caramel.
Yeah, but maybe just like in a cookie. I think I'd probably start out just like putting chunks of it in a cookie and see what happens.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Who could go wrong?
Okay. I think we can find this. I think this sounds like a product that would appeal to bored rich people. I think we have that. And I
think we have plenty of bored rich people in Seattle.
Right.
And
we know where they shop.
That want to supply
right.
to
so,
them.
So I think we can get our hands on this and we'll make some cookies and, I don't know, report back, I guess.
Yeah. Great. Okay.
Have you tried this, listeners?
Yeah, listeners. Yeah, would you go to the trouble of caramizing? You know?
Do you go to the trouble of smizing?
You know, I've been like trying to smize in photographs for a while lately.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I often read the blog Cup of Joe.
What is it?
It's like a lifestyle blog for women. But I have to say that gosh, she's been like hitting some really important topics lately. Like,
okay.
really good stuff. She did a whole article about like how common vaginal pain is for women.
Sure.
And like nobody's writing about this stuff. Yeah. So anyway, it's great. I really respect what she's doing. But anyway, what was I saying?
Something about smizing.
Oh, I remember seeing, you know, she had a post or something. The headline was like, how to look great in every photo. And I was like, click.
Yeah.
And it was something about how, like, just pretend that you're squinting slightly whenever the, like, just.
Yeah. See, here's the thing.
You look like you're about to fall asleep.
Right. So.
Well, anyway, when I do it, I either look like I've got it, like a touch of the crazy eye, like. Mm-hmm. My eyes just close. It's not working well for me.
So a few years ago, friend of the show, Becky Seligat, and I took an improv class.
Okay.
Right? Improv comedy class. You can see every week on the show how much it failed to pay off for me. And at the end of the class, like we all the people in the class went out to dinner or to a bar together. And two things happened there. Number one, we all exchanged contact information and made a promise like we're not going to be like this, like regular Seattle people who say we're going to stay in touch and then never stay in touch. Never heard from any of those people again. Maybe I'm friends on Facebook with one or two of them.
Okay.
The other thing is one of the members of the class who I think did in fact sometimes work as a model was trying to teach us all how to do duck face.
Oh, is
in
this
photos.
Like the Keira Knightley thing?
Probably.
Keira Knightley's lips always look slightly pursed.
Yeah, it's like that. And so she's like, here, Matthew, try it. And like the resulting photo, I hope it's not anywhere.
Is it like this?
I mean, probably, yes. But like, it didn't look like what you just did when I did. It looked like you know, I got a fish hook caught in my lip and someone was reeling me
in. Am I smizing?
I think so. Right. So anyway, all of these things, like, when I try to do them, they don't look good. They look bad.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Let's keep practicing our smizing. You know,
it sounded like you were talking to your aerobics class,
Brandon,
that
has,
you were leading.
Brandon has these cousins who live in Manhattan, and they're
okay. Lift those legs and keep practicing our smizing. Don't lose your smize.
They're very like New York women, and they. Like every time I see a photograph of them, I can't decide whether I aspire to be like this or whether I'm just feeling competitive. They look so good in every photo, but you can tell they're like turning their heads
yes.
so that like they've got their right angle and they're doing their like
wow.
Keira Knightley lips and stuff. And I'm like, you guys look great. And you know, like when you see
That's just what you want to hear. You look great. And
well, but I often think, what is it like to be a photographer on the red carpet?
Oh.
Because you're actually seeing these celebrities in front of you doing this obvious posing.
Sure.
That for us, when we see it in a photograph, we now think of this as just like what celebrities look like when they have their picture taken. But when you see it in the flesh, when you see this man or this woman like swivel to get a certain angle, like it must look so dumb.
Yeah. I mean, the photographers are probably used to it. I think it's more like if you or I were invited to be at the red carpet for some reason, which is never going to happen. It, like we would be seeing this like from our angle, like
yes.
seeing the photographer swoop in, then the celebrity like pivots and duck lips, and
I think Ash sees this okay. when I attempt to smize.
Okay,
I think this
yeah,
is
yeah,
what
exactly.
it looks like to her. Sometimes she's like, just look normal.
Yeah,
I'm but like I'm trying.
But does anyone ever tell Ryan Gosling or who's another celebrity to just look normal?
Keira Knightley.
Or Keira Knightley.
No, we don't want them to look normal.
No.
We want them to look like celebrities.
Yeah.
It's like Brandon's cousins. I'm like, ladies, keep on doing whatever you're doing. Like, look like celebrities.
Mm-hmm. But maybe not 100% of the time.
I mean, maybe not like right when I'm there.
Because you think
because if I'm hanging
like,
out with like Ryan Gosling, I want him to be real with me.
Hey, babe. hey, girl. That's it, right?
I don't know.
Hey, babe is what Arnold Palmer says.
Yes. Yes.
Right before he invents cheese toast. okay. That was last week. Sorry. And
like
6 months ago.
It was a long time ago. Okay.
Well, Arnold Palmer's very old and also he's passed.
Okay. Let's just finish this thing.
All right.
This episode was brought to you by Thomas's English Muffins, which Matthew has so much of in his mouth right now. I don't think he's even able to speak.
I'm not here right now. I'm in muffin land. Matthew, I'm in a nook and cranny that's cradling me.
Oh, I want to get in one.
Well, you're welcome. I'll get in the nook, you get in the cranny, and we're both going to live inside this peanut buttery Thomas's English Muffin for the rest of our lives.
Wow, Thomas's, wake up to what's possible.
You can find us online at SpilledMilkPodcast.com and at Facebook.com/SpilledMilkPodcast, where we already asked you to weigh in on a whole bunch of things. I apologize for implying that our listeners are bored rich people. And if you are, that's great. We support you. Please leave us a review.
How fast can you backpedal and then repedal in?
I am the king of backpedaling, but I'm going to repedal on this Tesseract thing. No,
great.
I'm not.
Okay. All right. You can also find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. You can find us at whatever podcasting platform you use.
Yes. That is actually where you already found us,
yes,
for sure.
Stitcher, CastBox, Google Play. Googleplex.
Googleplex.
Google Flex.
Is Googleplex like...
That's the biggest number. 10, it's with 100 zeros.
It's 10 to the 10 to the 100th. A Google is one with 100 zeros, and a Googleplex is 10 raised to that power.
I think so.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool. Wow, we've covered a lot of different subjects this week.
We have.
And until next time, I'm Dulcie.
And I'm...
Auralise. I'm Matthew.
Wow.
Let's try that again.
Are you sure?
I'm... This is my fourth podcast today.
Oh, my gosh.